Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 247, part 1, Your Testimony. Today is Friday, June 8th, 2012.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
Oh.
Testimony. Probably should read out of 2 Kings here, chapter 7. Going to read 1 through 9, but actually I'll be ministering from verse 9. Okay. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make the windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Now that was an evil question right there. Then he said, "Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And that speaks of a lot of people. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die?" Have you ever said that to yourself? "If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." See, really, neither side wanted them. "And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of the chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army." That happened in the Six-Day War, by the way, not too long ago. "So that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." And then they said to one another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So here is a story of four lepers outside the gates of Samaria. They had made a very great discovery that the Syrian camp was deserted. So first they sat down and they satisfied their own hunger and their own thirst. And I think that was all right to do, don't you? Wouldn't you do that? Satisfy yourself first? And so it is true that they had a duty to tell other hungry ones, but you see, if they were filled and if they were satisfied, I mean, if they had like lamb's fat dripping from their chops, and they went in picking their teeth, if they were renewed, they could do it with a louder voice. And I think a lot of times we need renewing ourselves. Down here on the north side, where you're in the battle all the time, you need a renewing all the time. I think we may step back at times and pray and think about, ponder about, ask God what to do next, and stand back and take a good look, a different perspective of the whole situation. I think we need to renew ourselves and just sit down and partake of the Lord at times. Charge our batteries, if you will, so that we, like these men, these lepers, would have a louder voice. And I think they would be much more convincing then, don't you? When you come on with a little heavier message, when you come on with a more dedicated message because you have charged your own batteries. Now, even myself down here in this mission ministry, a lot of times I find that I have to fall back maybe 5 or 10 minutes to kind of regain, kind of look at what God has called me to do. Do you believe that's what we all should do? I think so. See, if they actually could tell the truth by experience, like, I tell you, hey, there's food in there, and I'm filled. I'm stuffed. Because people might say, you know, maybe these lepers, maybe it's a delusion. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. And so actually they went ahead and they ate first. I think that's important. And so once refreshed and enriched, off they went to tell the other starving people. I think I should now advise every soul who has found Jesus Christ to imitate these four lepers. Make sure you found the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, enter in to the tent of salvation, be totally filled, be renewed, eat and drink of the Lord Jesus Christ, enrich yourself with Him, feel His love, feel His peace, feel His strength. Eat, I'm talking about, of the bread of life, and then go out and tell the good news. Give your testimony. You know, I'm afraid the last 15 years of this charismatic movement, we've given out a rather flat testimony, a testimony about where they have been and who they saw and how much we were so blessed. And people don't want to hear that, how much you were blessed. People are looking for a blessing. Or how much we've been touched. How much we've gained. Neither we're always flying so high you can't even see us, or so low that we're lost in the dust. Now, I believe this, right after you're saved, you should go tell. Right after I was saved, the pastor in the church in California spoke to me. He says, well, now go on out and tell somebody. In other words, put your hat in the ring. So I went out and I told someone, and it felt real good. Then I came back and I told my neighborhood what had happened to me. Immediately lost about half of my friends. The others were looking at me like, you know, he's fallen into some kind of a nut. He's fallen for some kind of a thing there. So I lost all of my friends, really, and I drew back and I took a month and I just ate of the Lord. I read my Bible. got into the things of God, went to churches here and there and all over, trying to find and to build myself up in the Lord. Well, I had lost all my friends by giving my testimony, and so now I was stuck with this thing. I think it's important right after that we get saved that we go in and we partake of this right away. We eat of the good things of the Lord and then go on out and give it away. So that's exactly what I did. Some 3 weeks later, I thought, oh my, what have I done? I've lost all of my friends. Do you know, down the line, I led each and every one of my neighbors to the Lord. In a year or two, I had led them all to the Lord. And at my job, where I was working at that time, I led all of those fellows to the Lord. Truck drivers would come in. People in the shop I led to the Lord. Management I led to the Lord. And wherever I went, I had that testimony. Because, you see, I went in and I fed myself first. But I believe right after that we're saved, we should go tell. But don't go and tell others till you have tasted and you're quite sure yourself. Give your personal witness. See, because if you run too soon, you go on out there and you haven't filled yourself up, you haven't looked at the thing in the right way, and you go on out there and then you fall back. I think it's important to grow that 2 weeks in the Lord and really grow in the Lord. Get yourself pumped up in the Lord. If you're going to give your testimony, give it to some Christians. But anyway, come, there is an abundance in the camp. They might ask like this, how do you know? How have you eaten of it yourself? And what did it taste like? Can you describe this experience? Are you full? And then you have to answer, well, yes, I actually entered in. It smelled so good. And you know, I thought of you right away, so I ran right back. I left all that good food. I left all that good fruit for you. Come on, let me show you. And you know what? They wouldn't believe me. They wouldn't believe me because it wouldn't be real. What we have to do then in our believing, see, our testimony will be weakened and it will be destroyed if we don't know what we're talking about. That's just like working down here in this mission. Someone asked me, Paul, can you tell us about a mission? And I'm going out to various churches now and I'm speaking about this mission down here. Let's say I had only worked the mission for one day. What good would my testimony be? What would I really know if I hadn't gone through anything? Well, I venture to say right now, folks, my testimony can tell you a whole lot about a mission. And I think right now I'm readying myself to go out, not only in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but maybe even further. Why? Because I have suffered through with this mission. I have a testimony. And I think anyone that wants to gain a testimony has to go through a certain amount of suffering. That's like I can give you a testimony about being an alcoholic, because I've been through that thing. I can give you the testimony about being in jail. I've been through that thing. I can give you the testimony about, and I'm not bragging about this, I'm just saying that I've gained a testimony. I can give you a testimony about coming into marriage, raising children, going through divorce. Not pretty, but I can tell you about it. I have a testimony. Maybe you won't like that testimony, but nevertheless, it is a testimony, isn't it? And you gain that testimony by going through. It isn't always easy. You aren't always going to be loved. You aren't always going to be liked. Sometimes you have to go in there and you have to eat things you don't like. Sometimes you have to gain that through experience. But we'll certainly know what we're talking about, won't we? Maybe the Bible does say, in the end, you're going to be hated in the house of your friends. Well, I've experienced that. I have experienced pain and agony in ministry, but I'm going to be ministering to pastors all over that are going through the very same thing. I've gained a testimony. Right now, I'm going through the school of hard knocks in my own life. Glory to God. And I praise God for it because I'm gaining a testimony. Do you think there's others out there just like myself that might need my testimony? Do you think I'm of any use right now? Do you think maybe I should just, go lay in the tent and eat and not do anything? No. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you're gaining a testimony. All over, I'm talking to people right now on the very same thing that's happened to me. I'm going to minister boldly about it because there's a lot of people that need to hear the truth. You know what? And the truth will set them free. Can you say amen? Oh, hey, Okay, now I mentioned that I went through a divorce. It's not a pretty thing. Might even cause an upset in the whole of your family. It hurts the children. It hurts you. It hurts the wife. It hurts the congregation. You might lose a few hundred people. But I'll tell you something. If God has called you to do a thing, preacher, if you're listening to me on the radio right now, if God has called you to do a thing, go on through. Go on through. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Gain your testimony. Go in the tent and eat. And then go on back and tell the others inside the gate that, hey, the enemy is scattered. Do you know, if you'll stand right now in your own life. Now, here's a brother. He just came down here and started working. So glad that you're down here, Jack. You know what you're doing down here, Jack? You're gaining a testimony. By the time you leave this place, you're going to be so built up in the Lord. Why? Jack, I understand you. Glory to God. I've gone through the very same thing you have. I will be able to minister to you, and when you leave here 10 years from now, Jack, you're not going to be the same person that came in here. All those fears and all those frustrations, I can see them falling off every day. Gaining yourself a little bit of discipline, gaining yourself a little bit of credibility here. That's what we all need. We need to encourage one another. Now, being I've gone through the different things I have in that 8 years I've been down here in this mission ministry, through the different things I've gone through down here, it's gained me a feeling of compassion for others. Jesus is going to ask us in the end, where were you when I was a sick and a prison and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? And he's going to ask us all that question, every Christian. And they're going to answer, well, we didn't know you were any of those things. We're going to say, I'll tell you, if you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it unto me. Jesus is going to ask that question. So many people right now need to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and aren't hearing it, because there's a whole lot of people just going all over, having a lot of fun for themselves, going out, going to seminars, going here, going there, always learning but never knowing, never coming to know Jesus Christ. Do you know how you come to know Jesus Christ? Through suffering. That's how you get to know Him. How do you get to know your children? Through suffering. Have you ever thought of that? How do you really get to know your children? Through suffering. When Paul had that, like, it's hard to believe he was a baby and this little. But then again, it's hard to believe that you were a baby. And you were that little, or you were that little, but we all were. And I think we learned something through the whole of our life. There is a certain amount of suffering involved. There's a popular preaching out right now that you don't have to go through any kind of suffering. I think is very false. But you know what you gain through it all? You gain knowledge. You told her something, and you told him something, and you're going to tell somebody something. How? By going through. Paul, I can minister to you because I'm going through the very same thing you are. Isn't that kind of a peace? Isn't that kind of a peace? I don't know where your people are at, but we all have a testimony. And I think what's wrong in this world, we're afraid to give our testimony out. We'll say, well, that's a negative testimony right now. Maybe you think I'm talking negative. I'm talking as positive as I can about a very negative thing. What am I going to do with my life with all this negativeness in it? Well, I'm going to be positive about it because there's a whole lot of folks out there that need to hear the very ministry that I'm going to come up with. Glory to God. And the Bible says all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Do you mean it was God's purpose this should happen to you? I wonder. Well, He has a way of turning all things to good, Paul. All things to good, Jack. All things to good, Dwayne. All things to good, Carolyn. All things to good. Hallelujah. He can turn it all to good. Are you hearing this? Are you listening real careful? See, here's Debbie now. She's wondering, what is my dad going to come up with next? I don't know. I don't know, but I got something burning inside of me. I don't know, I got brand new life starting up inside of me. It's just a baby right now. But it's something new. It's a testimony. I was thinking about it the other day. I thought, well, now, how am I going to be used in marriage situations in a greater way? I can tell you everything not to do. Isn't that worth something? One amen out of the whole group. Isn't that worth something? My testimony, your testimony, and your testimony is worth something. I have seen, I have tasted, I have felt, I have enjoyed the Word of Life. I have had an experience. I have had an experience of bringing up 4 children. Isn't that a testimony? These are all testimonies. See, because when you have personally enjoyed true godliness, our testimony for the truth and grace, loud and clear, and it's loud and clear, and it's very convincing. Well, I hope that I right now, I'm, you know, changing in my ministry right here, right now, coming into the camp, partaking, if you will, as a leper, going back in, and you know, in the Christian world, when you enter into divorce, you are, for a time at least, maybe 15 or 20 years, not too long, you're kind of a leper. It's like hang a sign around you. You are a leper. But anyway, what if these lepers stayed in the camp all night? What if they would have been laying on these Syrian couches, saying, I am so full, that's what counts. And then leave their people shut up in the walls of the city, crying out. And I thought of myself when I was reading this. Here I have been in this tent, and I've eaten of the Lord, and He's shown me all these good things He's going to give me. Now, do I keep my mouth shut? Or do I go back into the city, if you will? Delight others to feed on the Word. Gather others in for fellowship. No, I think a lot of times we like to comfort our own little souls. We like to go off someplace and comfort our own little souls. I tell you, people, it's time for a standing in right now. It's time for a having done all, stand right now. It's time for somebody to go out and be bold about what's happening. Are you hearing this? Oh, I'll tell you right now, if we don't see the needs of the people, if we don't see the poverty, if we don't see the old, if we don't see the retarded, if we don't see the crippled, if we don't see the captives, I mean, if everything is, you know, going back to our own stingy little lives, then what kind of a life is it? What kind of a life is it that just gives up and says this or that happened to me, so now I'm just going to give up? Do you believe that God can use the leper? I do. You people that are listening on the radio that have gone through divorce, maybe you're, okay, let's say you're Christian. Do you believe that God can use you, or do you feel like a leper? Well, I'm being healed right now. I'm being bold right now. I think to be healed, you have to be bold. Why put ouchless band-aids on a large wound? I think it's time for surgery. I think it's time to cut out that leprous thing and cast it out. I think it's time for an operation, don't you? No, I can't see that silence will do any good. Just like these lepers, if they would have kept silent and not went back in, told all these folks about what had happened. No, I don't think we're chosen at all to sit in little doctrinal groups and just sit there by ourselves. I think we have a testimony. I think everyone in here has a testimony. You all have something to relate. I can relate the grace and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God in my own situation. I've felt it. I can also witness about God taking a ministry through. Say amen, somebody. Totally through. As, for instance, talk about taking it through. Now, we're talking about in a year and a half's time, and this is a very, very large mission ministry, not to look at the seats here, but I'm talking about mission ministry outreach, the largest in the United States per consistent bag giveaway. And less than 2 years ago, we owed $180,000 on this building. We only owe $96,000 on this building right now. And there's, I bet you the collection, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what? I have never given a prosperity message. I think that's a very, very bad testimony. We're always talking about what God did for us with monetary things. Well, God blessed me with this Cadillac, and God blessed me. Now, okay, I mean, you know, are you hearing what I'm saying here? How many are hearing this? No, I think we have more important things and more fruit to bring forth other than giving a testimony on how much we have. You know when you're really rich? Do you know what? When you're really rich is when you have peace and when you have power and when you have love and when you have that forgiveness in the Holy Ghost. I remember after the situation I just went through, the very night that I forgave myself on this situation. I was all by myself, and I was in my apartment, and I thought, God, I've got to forgive myself on this thing. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, freely, freely, I have forgiven you. Freely, freely, give that away. Did you know that you stand forgiven in the Beloved the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his grace is sufficient to heal you in a divorce? Did you know that? Are you feeling, you listening on the radio, are you feeling like some kind of a leper? Look at this story. God used lepers. Misfits, if you will, has-beens, if you will. And God's grace, Pastor, is great enough to take you through in 1 year's time. Listen to this. In 1 year's time, it is very possible that this ministry will be totally paid off. Isn't that something to shout about? Do you know how many people, the defeatist group out there, are waiting for ministries just like this and ministries all over the nation to go down and to go under? Who is the leper? Say amen, somebody. Who is the leper? And I think the body of Christ has got a lot of heart searching to do. Don't you? I think we have got a lot of second-rate leper Christians out there. I mean, they wouldn't want them to teach Sunday school because they had a divorce. That means everybody will probably get a divorce, right? All little kids will say, oh, he's got a divorce. Huh? When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you and get a divorce. Are you hearing this? Oh, he stole. Oh, he was a drunk. Oh, he was in jail. We can't use him. God used the lepers right here. You know, I talked to a person the other day, and he says, you know, man said, I am so content to say this about myself. I don't drink, and I don't swear, and I don't gamble, and I don't lie. Well, I said, I never said you did. But I said, you should be ashamed if you do, sir. But I said, is it really enough for you to I do not do? Is that enough? How about what do you do? Oh, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this. Yeah, okay, but what do you do? Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For me, not to minister to the alcoholic. I'm talking about down in the gutter alcoholic. I'm going to spend some time down there in Skid Row. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I think we're all guilty of sins of omission. Have you had an opportunity to stick up for somebody and you didn't take it? That's the sins of omission. Right now, the President of the United States is going through a real time. I mean, they are ripping and tearing him like dogs. And yet, when Gaddafi was there and they were bombing and doing all these things back and forth, people were saying, oh, they ought to go over there and bomb them right off the map. Now, I think we should say goodbye to our perfect selves. I know I have a lot of shortcomings to overcome daily. Now, I believe no man has done all the good he could have done and ought to have done. Maybe you're saying off the radio, I think I can even hear you. I have. I'll say, I don't believe you. If you know the Lord but don't confess his name, you have not done well. I got to a time many times in my ministry, actually, and it has not been an easy ministry because it's deliverance and it's working with 35,000 people we work with every month. And street people and going out into the streets and so on like that. Many, many times I've had to check myself out. I might have asked myself, am I my brother's keeper? I might have to answer myself, no, Cain, but you are your brother's killer if you neglect him. I think there's so much neglect right now of people. Elderly people are so neglected. Who wants them? Now, you elderly people out there, now I'm a grandpa, but I'll say it, and I've said it, I'll say it again. I'm not the ordinary kind of grandpa. I'm not going to come over to my grandchildren with a little white bag and some hard lemon drops so when I die, they'll say, you know what? I remember grandpa. He had a big nose, and he was bald, and he brought a little white sack, and he had hard little lemon drops in it. No, I'm not the lemon drop kid. If you want to catch me, you'll have to catch me on my beeper. No, listen, old people, elderly people. For one minute, don't think that your testimony can't be used. I don't care if you have to come on crutches, a foot of horseback, covered wagons. I don't care how you get down here, but just get down here. If you're hearing me on the radio right now, do you know that today I think we had like 3 or 4 elderly people working? I'm talking 75 years old. Waiting tables. If the grandkids want to catch them, and you know there's so many grandkids, oh, gee, I'd hate to go see grandma at the nursing home because, you know, it smells in there. Huh? Listen, grandma, you got a testimony. Your life is a testimony. You're wasting it. If we don't give our testimony out, and that's your life. You remember that program they had, This Is Your Life? Do you remember that they had years ago? This Is Your Life, and they'd have some school teacher, oh, yes, come on, I had this kid when he was in school, huh? That kind of thing. They had to pump the testimony out of them, embarrass it out of them. We have a testimony. Mother, we have a testimony. Grandmother, we have a testimony. Paul, you have a testimony.
maybe people will think sometimes we're kind of weird when we want to give our testimony. But I'll tell you something, you have so much to share with others. Do you know the Bible talks about your treasure? Do you know what your treasure really is? Your life. Because without your life, you have no treasure. Where your treasure is, there will you be also.
That was part one of your testimony. Be sure to listen to part two, the conclusion, on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
I was born to make you happy. I think it's just my style. Everywhere I go, telling everyone I know, baby, I love to see you smile. Don't want to take a trip to China. Don't want to sail up the Nile. Wouldn't want to get too far from where you are. 'Cause I love to see you smile. Like a sink without a faucet, like a watch without a dime. What would I do if I didn't have you? Love to see you smile. In the summer, in the springtime, the winter or the fall, the only place I wanna be is where I can see you smile at me. In a world that's full of trouble, make it all worthwhile. What would I do if I didn't have you? Just love to see you smile. I love to see you smile.
I love to see you smile.